and we are dealing with what is present, not with that which is not here. Dealing with reality, not with imagination. Nothing wrong with imagination, but that's not what we are dealing with in our meditation. And when it's not clear, nothing special is happening, it is skillful to connect with the body's presence in place of anchor, like the chest or abdomen, and feel the sensation there, the life, if you wish. That's happening every instant. Not an imagination. It's an experience. Now, sometimes some other experience do arise. And then at this time, to try to stay with the sensation sometimes doesn't make sense, because it seems something is so much more important for us. Taking our energy, taking our attention. Then at this time, we open to try to be mindful of this new experience. It can be sleepiness, tiredness, can be also a sense of calmness, tranquility, that does not take us away from sensation, but we can be aware also of the tranquility, calmness, that help to settle the mind. Not only aware of the sensations, but the quality of the mind that is aware of the sensations. Tranquility, calm, joy, be aware of that. Not to cling to it, but just to be open to really experience that. But at time, as it has been mentioned, can be other experience. So we can experience emotions. So the way we may be aware of emotions can be different. Sometimes it is first a bodily sensation that we experience, and suddenly we discover it is linked with an emotion. Usually it's when it is emotions that are due to past memories. Sometimes we come to the meditation hall and there is already an emotion there. We are slightly upset or excited or something like that. So as we sit down, there is already an emotional state. I mentioned the three aspects that are linked together, the sensation, the belief, and the emotion. Not to analyze which one comes first. I imagine often a belief give rise to an emotion and then the reaction of the body, certainly very close together. You come to the meditation hall and you see somebody sitting at your place. So then that may give rise to irritation. So there was a seeing and then a belief, that's my place. Although you have not written your name on it, but that's my place. And then irritation. Maybe you see that's not your place, your place is right in front, so the irritation gone. So here we see the reading of the experience give rise to the emotion or not. But sometimes it's a bit more complex. The emotion that seems to be recurrent within ourselves, some kind of habitual patterns, that we meet in our meditation, or that are important in our life at this time, seems to be predominant. So we sit down, we may be quiet, we may feel the sensations in the anchoring place, and at one time in our practice it seems to surface and start to be important. Then it is a good opportunity to understand deeply what is an emotion, and to experience it fully. So we don't need to create an emotion, but they appear sometimes in our practice. Now there are various aspects that help us to be in touch and discover the nature of an emotion. The first one is to be aware how we react to it. The emotions that I have spoken are painful, sadness, anxiety, irritation. So usually there is an aversion for them. We don't want to experience them. Sadness is not nice, irritation neither, anxiety neither. So in a sense, we like to, not to be, to experience them, not to feel them. When they're not too strong, it may be a good reason to dream, or to plan for the future. So we don't feel them. So to be aware of the reaction with respect to the emotion. The unwillingness to really experience them. This unwillingness to experience them, trying to push them away, doesn't help. If it did help, then it would be very easy. That we know very well, to try to push them away and to think about something else. But when they are strong, important for us, they do reappear. So if we want to know them, the first thing is not to act upon this reaction toward or against the emotion. That's okay, I don't really want to feel this irritation. I don't really want to experience this sadness. I recognize it is my right, I can not wish to experience it, but it is there. So what is it that I don't want to experience? And why is it that I don't want to experience it? So respecting both aspects, the presence of the emotion and the unwillingness, yet not being led by the unwillingness, not obeying the unwillingness. This is fine. But maybe it's more skillful to really feel and discover what is this emotion. So that is an important part, to see the attitude with respect to the emotion. Now when I'm opening myself to the emotion, it is quite possible that I'm contacting the sensation, bodily sensations that are linked with the emotion. That's okay, I feel this heaviness or whatever. But that's not the emotion, that the physical inscription of the emotion. I'm trying to explore, to feel, but what is an emotion? What is sadness? Sadness is not heaviness in the chest. What is sadness? Not my sadness, where we cling so much to the notion of I, that there is no clarity with respect to the sadness. The eye, grasping at the eye, casts its shadow on the emotion. It's more like a curiosity, what is sadness, in such a way that when we speak, we all understand what we are speaking about. So there is something in common in all the types of sadness. So what is sadness like? What is a sad consciousness? Not my sadness, but a sad consciousness. How is it that consciousness can manifest itself on the aspect of sadness? This fantastic capacity that consciousness has. So one start to be open to experience the sadness, to discover it, what it is, how does it taste like? And sadness, of course, is sad. That if sadness was happy, it would be not a problem, and we would not call it sadness. So sadness is sad. Nothing so strange about it. So when we start to open to the emotion, sadness in this case, and we can really experience it as the way consciousness manifests itself at this time, suddenly it is not a burden anymore. there is something very touching in this quality of consciousness, and that can be experienced with serenity, with freedom. It means it does not push me to do this or that. I'm experiencing it, but I'm completely free from it. Not because I pretend it is not mine, it is like somebody else, keeping at a distance, no, because I really am intimate with this experience. And I realize there is nothing in the sad consciousness that is a burden. In the sad consciousness, there is not one part that can be a burden for the other. There is a unity there. And as this monk for the first tradition said, sadness is just that. Nothing more, just that. And we discover that it is possible to be free within the emotions. Then, sadness being here or not, it does not matter. In the case of fear or anxiety, also we can feel the physical inscription, can be a tightness in the chest. I'm vague in the physical description, can manifest in certain ways, but I feel that, and maybe I discover there is some anxiety there. Again, it is so amazing. What is a consciousness, an anxious consciousness? What is it like? It seems we know how it is conditioning us, how it can be painful. But what is it really? What is really anxious consciousness? How is it in the world? It's really important and fascinating. There's this kind of alertness that seems to need to be aware of anything, because one never knows. This kind of hyperactivity to check on everything. One never knows. Again, this is not pleasant, so one may feel the reaction, I don't really want to experience that, and that's fine. But I don't let myself be driven by this unwillingness, because it doesn't help. I acknowledge the right to be here, but then I explore. So what is this anxiety, this anxious consciousness? Not I am anxious, but an anxious consciousness. With intimacy. Being that. And suddenly anxiety is just like that. It's fascinating. It's touching quality of the consciousness. So it's not a burden. But at this time it means that the anxiety or the sadness are not like object in consciousness. As long as they are seen as object in consciousness that we could get rid of, then we are stuck. When they are seen as aspect of consciousness, the way the consciousness manifests in this instant, then the thought or wish to get rid of disappears. It doesn't make sense. Exactly as we don't want to get rid of the reflection in the mirror, we are dealing with a mirror. So that's okay. Of course, it is easy to say. It does take practice, but first the understanding that the solution or the freedom from emotion is not to be found outside of the emotions. It is from the experiencing of the emotion. The solution of the problem is not outside of the problem, it's right there. In a wrong way of seeing the problem, in a right way of seeing or experiencing the problem. Now, with respect to desire, can also be a physical inscription. There can be images that we are clinging to, especially with strong desire. Images being projected onto other people, even imaginary people, people that are not here. And as soon as we take those images for reality, the desire arises and there is a loop there. It seems that we are a circle. We are caught in that. To want to deal with a desire, but not to discredit the reality of the image is absurd. Because as long as this image does still appear, or is taken in some sense for reality, then the desire is going to be fed, going to find energy. So it is important to see at this time aspect of clinging to those images, and to realize these images are just a family problem within me. It's nothing from the outside. Just I create an image and then I get excited. So not to convince oneself, oh, that's just my image, but to see it clearly. Only when we see it clearly, then does it lose its power. And of course that can be so powerful. Took a desire here for another person, but we can take a maybe more simple desire, how that can make us do so many things. I've seen a pair of shoes in Jerusalem, although I am living, I don't know, you know, 300 kilometers from there, but in this shop, these shoes were so fantastic. So now I'm driving all the way, this traffic jam, because these shoes is really what I needed, you know. Maybe I go there and they've been sold, or I look at them, but that's not exactly what I thought they were. So now I am driving 600 kilometers for this pair of shoes. I thought that really what I needed in my life, you know. You can change the shoes and take anything else, you know, that is working too. So it has, in the mind, there were some kind of shoes that may have nothing to do with these shoes in this store, you know. But clinging to that, and then that what I want, we cannot let go of it. How desire can bind us, making us do so many things. No, it's not a fight against desire. Desire is bad or not moral or whatever. It's not about that. It's about freedom. When I discover exactly the nature of desire, the quality of mind that is reaching out, and how it is reaching out for an image that he is creating. Take this example from the Chinese tradition again. The artist paints a tiger on the wall and then runs away. We could imagine the contrary. Paint a beautiful man or woman and then every day come in to picnic in front of this painting, you know. Bringing flowers and having discussion and being stuck there, you know. Or if you like, you paint a pair of shoes, that's okay too, yeah. It's fascinating when we start to see clearly what's happening. As you are laughing, there is something funny in how we are caught in what we create. And that can be a big burden. Can be a big burden, even in a family. You know, the man or the woman want to buy such an expensive car because that's really what is most important in life. You know, and that can really be such a burden in life. So it's not, there's something wrong with desire, there's something wrong with the lack of freedom. I'm not going to go through all the emotions, but just the willingness to explore them with curiosity, they are fascinating experience. really fascinating experience and very rich aspect of our life. But we don't want to be burdened by them, but play with them, dance with them. So don't look for emotion if there no one is arising, but when they arise, try to have this curiosity to really know what they are about, so to be free and to expand them with a free mind. Again, if there's nothing special happen, come to the anchoring place, because there's plenty to discover there, to develop this quality of mind that is receptive and can really understand deeply the nature of the experience.